the Rapids podcast is presented by Advocare, the official sports nutrition partner of the Colorado Rapids. Here are your hosts, Richard Fleming and Connor McGahee.
Greetings from Dick's Sporting Goods Park. Once again, ahead of match number 32 for the Colorado Rapids, home to FC Dallas. Coming up, we talk USA versus Panama and TNT. We'll hear from Kevin Doyle, as well as get a little insight from the Dallas camp ahead of Saturday's game at home. First, though, a strange game last weekend, with the Rapids coming out on top, defeating Montreal Impact 2-1. Richard Fleming joins me. I said to numerous people that that was one of the strangest games, at least professionally, that I've ever been a part of. And everything on Star Wars night, appropriately enough, came in twos. Always two there are, a master and an apprentice. Two red cards, two video reviews.
Well, people have said that. I think Eigner, Hairston, Watts. Eigner's goal went to video review.
They checked it. Now, so there was a check that went down from the VAR in the back, just to make sure he wasn't offside.
So whether that's an official review, did he do the TV box?
He did not. I think he was waiting to see if there was a recommendation to go look at it further, and I don't think it came down because there was, like we were talking about afterwards, and you actually tweeted out a couple stills about this, there wasn't enough evidence to show that Eigner was in fact came back from an offside
position. That's what it appeared. And I know Cookie and I were going back, and he kind of he sent me a still of the what looked as if it was the moment of impact from Williams. I was still in a little bit of doubt because there was a movement from Eigner that may have been from an offside position back to an onside position. Yeah. But as you said, the I don't think there was enough in the replays and the looks that the video review team will have got to have made a decision that would have allowed them to have overturned it. That's not to say that it wasn't, but obviously they didn't have enough to look at. So it stood, and obviously from a Rapid standpoint, good that it did. But yeah, I mean, nine aside, they'd used up all their subs, and then both players get an injury. And as you say, video review, two red cards, and we had the drop ball situation. We had another late goal from Alan Gordon.
I want to talk about the drop ball situation for a second because I think the league needs to address that. Because if you have, obviously a penalty is one of the situations where you have to, which qualifies for video review. So if you have that instance that you have, penalty's been called, you go to video review, it's determined it's not a penalty. Now you're telling me you have an active drop ball situation atop the penalty area?
Well, my concern from a Rapid standpoint...
Why not have an indirect free kick for the defending team coming out?
Or a goal kick.
One of the two. That would save all sorts of headaches. And maybe they didn't think that far ahead because that situation wouldn't come up. But the restart in that instance needs to be amended.
But also the restart potentially, and this is what we were saying on the call, potentially favours the attacking team because it was just around about the edge of the penalty area. Now, as we know, with drop balls, there are legs flying. You're kind of trying to time it for the ball to drop. Now, if you catch the attacking player and it's...
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's you know,
the suggestion is you're inside the penalty area.
The penalties
for an infringement on the part of the defending team are a lot more costly than the attacking
team.
So I mean, it was a game that had a great deal last weekend. Again, Alan Gordon popped up, got the winning goal, two assists from Mikel Williams, and you know, he had not kind of contributed in that area since May of last season. And I remember when he first arrived, his first few games, he tallied a total of four assists, and everybody's thinking, you know, here's a great option down that left-hand side. I mean, he can operate down the right-hand side as well, but somebody's able to deliver and deliver a decent ball on the run. We've not seen that. Second half of 2016 and the first two-thirds, three-quarters of 2017. So it was great to see him back amongst the kind of activity. And I do still think that Williams is better going forward. I think sometimes his defensive decisions. That said, it was a very timely interception that he made. I think it was Piatti.
It was.
Who maybe took an extra touch. Yeah. Maybe took an extra touch, and Williams, thankfully, was there to get across. He was injured. Azira was injured. Obviously, Piatti was injured for them. Chris Duval left, you know, on a wheelchair earlier in the game. And the Rapids came out with 3 points. So, yeah, it was a a very strange game, yeah. A very bizarre game. And as I say, even at 10 aside, there seemed to be plenty of space out there. At 9 aside, there were huge gaps.
Well, it made me think, because it was so much fun to watch 10v10 and then 9v9 at some point. So it made me think, and obviously this would never happen, but what if you actually went to actually having just 10 aside or 9 aside out there? I think back to what the NHL did with their 3v3 overtime a couple years ago. And everyone almost wants NHL games to go to overtime now to watch the 3-on-3 because your heart rate goes through the roof immediately. And it's just automatically, there's more chances. It's fast-paced. There's transitions. You got to be 100%, can't make any mistakes. And it's so much fun to watch. And that's how I felt when it was 10v10 and then 9v9 on Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, you'll go back to those red cards, and both of them were deserved.
Yeah.
But both players will, I imagine, reflect and think, what was I doing? What was I thinking? Jared Watts was reckless. And then Lovitz, when you're a man up and you need the win, and it's not a goal-scoring opportunity. It's just a sneaky, unnecessary little jab into the upper part of Mike DeFont.
You know my favorite stat of the night?
Go on.
I will go on. We had two interviews pregame on Altitude Television. They were Jared Watts and Daniel Lovitz. Who were the two send-offs in the game? Jared Watts and Daniel Lovitz.
And, of course, halftime interview was Michael Azira, who hobbled off late in the game as well.
So, Altitude TV, we were just the kiss of death. We were the angel of death coming upon this game.
So if you're a player and you get a request for a pregame interview, no, turn it down.
Turn it down.
Don't do it. Do not speak to either of us. It's either a red card or an injury. We're obviously joking aside. We hope not.
Of course, I know what it's like.
I know what it's like to be injured.
You've literally just... So walking in here, you've injured your left quad.
I have injured my left quad. I went to,
and we're out of subs, so we're going to have to play short.
We have soccer balls in the office, and I was walking in, there was a soccer ball there, and I still think that I'm 10 years old, and I see a ball, and I've got to kick it. And so I went to try and flick it up. You know, as you do, you kind of flick it up behind you, and I mean,
you're practically Ronaldo.
And yeah. I've, the fat Ronaldo, yes. and I think I've torn my left thigh.
We were starting and we couldn't start because it was like Peter Griffin when he hits his knee.
And the thing was, you were both
that was
laughing.
You about 10
you
minutes
were
ago.
Both laughing. You'd never be medical people, would you? Somebody with a serious injury.
My bedside manner was
not
great. And
you've got this kind of belly laugh that's going on.
So, because I've never seen you react like that before to anything, and it wouldn't go away, and you're just, I mean, all I could think of was Peter Griffin going, See, now you're laughing as well.
I am laughing, and it's hurting, so I need to stop laughing.
Okay, stop laughing then. Oh, let's hear from a selection of post-game chat from the Rapids after the win over Montreal Impact on the weekend.
We work incredibly hard, and we deserve to win just as everybody else does. So it's good. We've been on a pretty good run, you know, for us at the moment, and this is just to cap a really good long road trip.
You can still hear the fans drumming in the background. Feel good to show them such a good performance tonight.
You know, it's been a tough season for us and for them. They come out and, you know, they cheer us on. Tonight I was pleasantly surprised how many people were here and how loud they were, and it's a testament to, you know, what we are as a club.
Have you been through a wilder game? Two red cards, two VARs, two drop balls. It seemed like everything was going to happen tonight.
It's a bit crazy, but, you know, I think at the end of the day, VAR works. They get it right, and we have to bear with it. But in the end, I think, you know, you can't really argue with the television.
Courtney Ford, 3 points at home. How does it feel?
Feels amazing. You know, we've been on the road for a while. It's just nice to be back home for a couple of games. It's nice to get a win under our belt. And just play in front of the fans.
From the beginning, this game felt different. It was a bit strange, you know, two red cards. You guys both go down to 10 men. Did it feel like at some point the game was going to break open?
You know, it always does. But we were focused on, you know, from the get-go. I'm in the locker room, we were talking about the mentality. The team that was going to fight the most is going to win the game. And, you know, those things happen, you know, red cards early in the game. But at the end of the day, we fought, and that's when we had the right mentality, and we got the win tonight.
Stefan Aigner comes in and he gets his first goal here at Dick's Sporting Goods Park. But he brings something different to the midfield. Talk a little bit about him and his presence.
Yeah, he's just very technical, and he's a player that wants to get on the ball. And for the system we play, it helps a lot for our guys, and it's great to have him on the team.
You think you've seen it all in soccer when you've been around a little while, and sometimes you see something new. So It was a bit of a crazy game. I think obviously going down a man early, from our perspective, to weather that storm in the first half and then actually going a goal ahead, and obviously the referee evened the numbers up a little bit as well, I think was testament to the character. And obviously, you know, Stefan scores a great goal. In the second half, obviously, we felt we could get them on the counter-attack as they came out, which we ended up doing, but obviously we didn't plan on them getting that goal as well. But I think, I don't know whether that game is too much about tactics or technique. It's more about the commitment of players to each other and working hard and no matter what, fighting through. And I think from our perspective, we're fortunate to get a win. I think we're happy with the win. And again, credit to the players, because they truly, truly deserve 3 points tonight. They truly deserve the win. The commitment that they make to each other on a daily basis is phenomenal. And I'm just delighted for the players. I'm proud of them as well. So thank you.
There's the thoughts of Steve Cook, Courtney Ford, and Tim Howard from last weekend, with Richard Fleming still smarting. We'll be right back.
Colorado Rapids 2018 season tickets are on sale now. Don't miss out on the action as the Rapids take the field for 17 home matches at Dick's Sporting Goods Park next season.
And it's Marlon Hairston in the blink of an eye. They're back on level terms. This is some contest.
Go to coloradorapids.com to find out about the exclusive season ticket member benefits, including meet the team party, game day experiences, and stadium discounts. Go to coloradorapids.com.
Among the voices we heard from before the break was Rapids goalkeeper Tim Howard, who will not be available for this weekend's home game with FC Dallas, as he's in Orlando with the national team as they prepare to play Panama and their penultimate World Cup qualifier.
We look forward to the game. We know it's a huge game for both teams. We've been in camp here since Sunday. I think our team will be well prepared and ready to play against a very good team from Panama. So we look forward to the match. We're pleased to be in Orlando. It's a great venue, a great community to support the U.S. team. So it has all the makings of a great game tomorrow night. This is why we play and coach in these type of games. This is what high-level athletes and coaches are supposed to be about. And we're playing in a big game. It means there's going to be big moments, and we need to have big performances. And I believe we're prepared to do that.
Bruce, the last two rounds of games, you've platooned your goalkeepers, saying that Tim Howard, post-surgery, it's a tough turnaround quickly for him for the second game. Are you planning on continuing that this week with the two games?
I will be honest with you. I haven't spent 1 second in preparation for the second game. Yeah, all the focus has been on Panama. I cannot tell you one thing that we would do in our second game in this swing. So all the focus is on this game on Friday night.
There's a few thoughts from head man of the United States, Bruce Arena. USA currently placed fourth in the hex. Only the top three are guaranteed a berth in Russia next summer. Mexico already qualified. Costa Rica need 1 point from their two remaining games to be sure. You then have Panama on 10 points, followed by the USA and Honduras on 9 apiece. Team finishing fourth, and that's still not assured for Bruce Arena's men, will face a team from the Asian Confederation, the winner of Syria and Australia. Already, though, you've had contact with colleagues in Australia?
Yes, yeah, a friend of mine who works for TV Ad in Australia. We worked at the BBC together a few years back. He has already, obviously they're kind of hedging their bets, he's already had to apply for a visa to come and do a game in the US if that's what happens. And so he's contacted me to say, look, I needed to put an address down for somebody I know in the USA. Was it okay that I put your details? So he's put me down as the contact. So yeah, already Australia are planning for a possible trip to the US. That's no guarantee that the US will get fourth. They could they could end up missing out altogether. And I think people are getting to this stage now. Two games to play, 6 points. And it's been kind of suggested, well, yeah, you know, it's very much still in the USA's hands. Yeah, it is. It is, if they win both of those games. But it's still in the hands of Honduras, and it's still very much in the hands of Panama. Now I'm going to put it to you as a US citizen.
Inconceivable
that the USA fails to qualify for the World Cup?
In the famous words of The Princess Bride, inconceivable.
Yes.
One of my favorite movies of all time. But the US has qualified for every single World Cup since the 80s. I mean, you're talking about the nation on the rise, and this has been the hyperbole that's gone on forever. Is soccer arrived in America, all this stuff. which I sort of brush off and say, look, for a lot of us, it's been here since the beginning. Mm. And I have a super high standard for the United States. There's no excuse, especially playing in CONCACAF, that the United States should never, ever not qualify for a World Cup.
And
that would be a massive, massive disappointment and about 13 steps back for U.S. soccer.
We spoke a few weeks ago, and I think it was maybe a parting shot, where we talked about even if the U.S. do qualify, bearing in mind the struggle they've had to get there, there has to be questions that are asked, not just of Bruce Arena, not just of the squad, not just of the players, but of the hierarchy,
yeah,
you know, the Sunil Galatis and U.S.
Exactly.
soccer hierarchy. And it's
because
interesting.
They're making decisions from academy upwards and outwards that affect everybody, including the national.
But it was interesting that I saw something that was sent out yesterday on social media. Somebody else has kind of leapt on that they have spoken to.
Followed your lead.
Well, yeah, probably. that there are questions that will need to be asked, irrespective of whether the US qualifies for Russia or not, because I think the manner in which they've gone about this would suggest that other nations have quite rightly have looked and learned and are kind of competing with the US. Again, I've made that comparison with teams in Europe that have got national players that are playing in stronger domestic leagues overseas, and I give England as the example. A lot of foreign players that know how to play the English style, know how to play in front of the English crowds, know how to play on the English surfaces, and it's exactly the same here in Major League Soccer. The amount of CONCACAF players, non-American, that are playing in Major League Soccer, that gives them a huge advantage when they go to play at Red Bull Arena, or they play here at Dick's Sporting Goods Park, or they go and play at Rio Tinto, or wherever they are. They're not going to be fazed by the surface. They know the opponents. They may be teammates, or they've come up against them week after week after week. So it is on the one side, it's huge that there's this massive infiltration of CONCACAF players, international players, and there was the big boast every time there's a World Cup cycle, every time there's a World Cup break. They look at the numbers. Oh, there was 90 players from Major League Soccer called away to international duty. That's great on the one hand, but those guys are here, they're watching, they're learning, and then they're going back to their national teams, and they're able to kind of adjust and figure out the way that the US plays. And I don't think there's that aura surrounding the US anymore. I don't think that there's that fear factor. And I think that's something that Cello said to us a few weeks back, Marcelo Balboa. There isn't that fear factor, because they're familiar with the players that they're coming up against now.
We will have more answers than questions after the weekend, with, of course, trips to Orlando to take on Panama, and then to the island itself. The last World Cup qualifier with Trinidad and Tobago. We'll be right back.
The Colorado Rapids would like to invite you to the end-of-season awards gala, A Burgundy Affair, presented by Audi. Join us for an evening of food, libations, and celebrations on Tuesday, October 17th, hosted at the Sewell Ballroom in the Denver Center for the Performing Arts. This cocktail attire evening features a sit-down dinner alongside Rapids players, coaches, and alumni, benefiting Kroenke Sports Charities community programs. Make your reservation today at coloradorapids.com.
Welcome back to the Rapids Podcast. Last week, we heard that Kevin Doyle was to retire with immediate effect on medical advice. Richard Fleming caught up with Kevin prior to last Saturday's game, and this is what he had to say.
Obviously, it's a big announcement for me personally to make, and no one can make it for you. No one can tell you to make it or whatever. You have to do it yourself. So, but yeah, as you said, it was a relief when I was done with it. I knew for 2 weeks basically now, after seeing different people, I knew it was coming, and I just had to get my mind around it and get ready and just do it in the end.
Not the sort of thing you mess with, though, is it, the head?
No, it's not. You know, I knew for a good while something wasn't quite right, and you try to avoid it, and I'm trying to get through to the end of the season and different things, and try to deal with it then, but just the latest bang to the head in early in September, you know, once I made up my mind after that, basically, and it's no one will tell you. You see different people, and they'll advise you and this and that. But at the end of the day, it's up to yourself whether you want to stop playing. And I felt it was the right decision. And now, after I've made it, I really feel relieved that I have.
A 16-year career, you play the game, and you play the game that you love. Were you surprised at the outpouring of emotion, the outpouring of tributes that were made to you via social media? A lot of fans, a lot of members of the media, former players, former teammates of yours?
Yeah, you know, it's fantastic. It really is, you know, nice to see that. That's all I can say. Everyone sent me such nice messages. I can't reply to them all, unfortunately, but I really appreciate everyone. I've read everyone, and they mean a lot. it's nice, you know, you spend a long time playing and you don't really realize, I suppose, the impact you've had on different teams or different people in your life, and to see some of the messages really hits that home, and it's something that I'm really thankful for.
And one final question, a career highlight, was there one to pick out?
Just playing for my country, you know, that was my dream as a kid. That was the jersey I wore as a kid, the first kit I had. You know, watching Ireland play in Italian 90 is sort of my first memory. So to play for my country, and obviously everything else went to it was a bonus, but that was an unbelievable feeling. In the old Lansdowne Road as well, which I would have gone to as a kid, you know, a really proper stadium, and that was the highlight.
You know, it's not often we get to break news on this podcast, Richard Fleming. I'm going to break a little piece now.
Go for it.
Because it's sort of in my realm, in my wheelhouse. Mm. We're going to have a special color commentator on the radio for this Saturday's game versus FC Dallas.
Do tell me more.
I would love to
be
tell
sure.
you more. To be sure. Kevin Doyle will be the color analyst on Altitude Sports Radio AM 950 with I this weekend as the Rapids host, FC Dallas. He's agreed to do that, and I am greatly looking forward to that.
No, that should be good.
It's going to be wonderful. And I think, I've said this for a long time, I think that Kevin has a future in some sort of media. He's very sharp. He's very funny. He's got the voice for it. I mean, he can write as well. So I think he's got the future for it. And he will make his broadcast debut coming this Saturday.
Sounds like you're already angling for 10 years from now when he's a
right.
He's you're going to take a slice of the glory.
Yeah, I've had the same conversation with Tim Howard as well. I was like, Tim, when you go and do TV, you got to take me with you. Just him, just laying the ground,
kicking and screaming,
just dragging on the coattails. But so that'll be the case coming up this Saturday. Kevin Doyle joins me for radio coverage of FC Dallas and the Colorado Rapids here on Altitude 950. Now, someone who has got to know Kevin Doyle well since his arrival in Colorado is central defender Bobby Berling. Here's what he had to say.
You talk about a designated player or a foreign player coming to the league and, you know, maybe not knowing what to expect from a guy who's played in England, played for his country, and, you know, lots of unknowns. And I think if you look at him, he checks every box. He's not only, you know, a great player, but first and foremost a great person, great family man. Good locker room banter for the group as well. Yeah, and just an overall good teammate. You know, he's bought numerous things for the guys, including a box for wives and kids to sit in during the games. He's bought us, you know, a ping pong table, a coffee machine. The list goes on and on. Even, you know, buying Jared Watts pairs of cleats for guys who didn't have contracts. It's, you know, all the little things he's done, you know, doesn't go unnoticed. And more importantly, just the guy he was in the locker room and off the field speak for itself. But you know, a lot of times people would look at his stats and say, you know, he's a DP, should be scoring more goals. But for our system and the work rate he did for our system is something that didn't show up in the stat sheet. And I think, you know, obviously unfortunate circumstances, I think we know he was fit enough to play 2-3 more years had he been able to. And it was never for lack of passion or lack of, you know, fitness for him.
You mentioned there about that the kind of the preconceived idea of this Premier League player coming in, and I kind of likened him to, and his family being possibly the most un-Premier League. You know, they enjoy their privacy, they're family people. Were you surprised? I mean, you kind of intimated there that here is a guy. What are we going to get? Played in the Premier League, he's going to be high maintenance. But Kevin Doyle was anything but.
Yeah, I think you know their family well as I do, and I think you hit it spot on. It's I'm not familiar with other, you know, Premier League families or players as much as maybe as you are as well, but I think that everything that this club is about as well, he bought into. And coming from, you know, Championship or Premier League when he was in promotion battles or relegation battles, and coming here and not having that sense of obviously relegation, but at the same time, you know, really being prideful. And I think, you know, he joked about retiring after last season, had we won the cup and the year we had. And I think just the roller coaster of years that we had from this year to last year, I think, you know, in the end, we wish we could have gave him a better ending to his career if this was it. But that being said, what he's accomplished, you know, throughout his whole career is incredible.
How tough is it? Because everybody knows that a sports person's career is shortish compared to most other careers. I imagine the big frustration is wanting to go out on your terms. And then what does the future hold? And I suppose the timing of this was not ideal.
Yeah, I think, you know, like you said, I mean, I always joked with him because John Elway and Peyton Manning went out with Super Bowls, and him being a lifelong Bronco fan, I wanted him to have the same reward. But it's, you know, sports are not always like that. And like you said, it's hard to go on your terms when you want, how you want. Very few players get to. And I think, you know, in the end, he's got a beautiful family. He's, you know, he hasn't lived at home in Ireland since he was 17 years old, which is hard to wrap your head around when you hear about the places he's been and where he's played, and having a, you know, built a house in his hometown and not having lived in it for more than, you know, a few weeks at a time for holiday and in between seasons. So all the grand scheme of things, you know, I know that they loved it here. They loved their time in Denver, and it's always, you know, albeit a long flight away, they're always going to come back and visit, and they've made some great friends here. And but I think in the grand scheme of things, I think they're ready to move on for the next phase of his career or life or whatever that is. And, you know, all the best to Kevin and his family.
He was here a short, in terms of, you know, we mentioned the grand scheme of things of a career. He spent a shortish time here in Colorado, and, you know, there's players up there on the Gallery of Honor that will have arguably given a lot more to the team in terms of stats. What did he do in terms of elevating the professionalism, the organization, the work ethic? What did he bring?
Yeah, I think he was kind of one of the first players to pave that that path of what the demand is for a player as a club here, and what, you know, these future players, the Tim Howards, the Gashis, when they sign these big players, what's expected of them and what's expected of the club to provide them. And for a, you know, a role model designated player, if you will, you know, I put that in quotations because it's just a title, but at the same time, for this club to open up the pocketbook and spend a little bit of cash on some designated players, I think they couldn't have got a better one in him as far as the person, the player, and the teammate he was for the club and the group. And hopefully that set the precedent for going forward with the future of this club.
And just quickly, the last three games, two at home and then obviously Seattle on the road. It's we know it's been a tough season. It has been a difficult season. And I imagine you and the players have spoken about, you know, what's the driving force, what's the momentum, what's the incentive. What is that all about over the next three games?
You know, it's in the end of the day, it's your livelihood, it's your job, and it's for pride. And it's a lot of people have worked hard all year long outside of the team, you know, people in the front office, people like yourself, people that are pushing our product off the field. And when we haven't had a successful year, it's hard to push that product, right? So I think for us, we need to look at ourselves first and foremost, you know, guys who don't have contracts, guys who have contracts for next year. It's a different boat, but myself, I'll be a free agent, and, you know, other guys have options or contracts that are up in the air. And I think at the end of the day, it's, you know, it's a livelihood and it's your career. And yeah, it's a team sport, but at this point it's personal performance to make the team better, whether your name's called or not. It's been a frustrating year for me personally, as far as injuries goes. And then, you know, the team struggled as well. So I think, you know, the last three games, if we can play spoiler to Dallas, a team that's had our number, you know, they're in the outside playoffs looking in right now. So I think if we could, you know, put a good performance together with them, and then obviously Salt Lake, that rivalry speaks for itself. It's a meaningful game for us, our fans, and our club. They're kind of fighting for the playoffs as well. So we got two good opportunities at home, a place where we haven't been good enough this year. And if you're looking back at last year, where we didn't win a game or didn't lose a game, I'm sorry, until, you know, the playoffs. And then obviously the last game being Seattle, a team that put us out last year. So not much more to be said. You know, I think those three games are meaningful enough, and hopefully we can find it from within to put some performances together.
There's Bobby Berling in conversation with Richard Fleming. Now, after a week hiatus, we bring Dylan Gannon back into the fold to break down one of the most popular trends in the soccer world. Hello, DG.
Connor, thank you, sir. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Been a while. We're not going to sing it again this time.
Why not?
Our loyal fans. We'll let them sing. I heard last time you and I tried.
Well, just give them a second. So, you know, we won't sing it. So go ahead when you're listening, wherever you are. Okay. All right.
Great We're job, good to go. Everyone.
Yeah, good job.
Anyhow, this has been a topic that I've wanted to discuss for a while now. It might make me sound like a nerd, but
it's okay.
I'm not worried about it at all.
Yeah, me neither.
As some of you know, the newest installment of EA Sports FIFA series, FIFA 18, just came out, and it's already taken the soccer and video game world by storm.
Yes. Trust me, Dylan was very excited when he saw the opportunity to talk about FIFA. Now, I M Select in my video games. Okay. I only play a couple.
Star Wars Battlefield.
Battlefront, get it right. Star Wars Battlefront. Medal of Honor is in there. We have the new Call of Duty coming out. Mm-hmm. And Uncharted. The Uncharted series is delightful. So, but outside of that,
okay.
Outside of that, I don't play a ton of video games. But I assume that you do.
I'm actually not a huge gamer, but I do like to dabble in FIFA, NBA 2K. But we'll skip through that because otherwise it's going to be a 3-hour conversation about video games. But anyway, after working for the Rapids for 3 years, I've always kind of wondered what it must be like for the players to see themselves in the game. So we decided to sit down with one of the rookies on the side to get his take on what it was like to see himself in one of, if not the, most popular sports franchise out there.
All right, here with Courtney Ford. As you know, FIFA 18 just came out a couple days ago, and rumor is you may like to partake in it every now and then.
Yeah, you know, on the days that I don't have class, get home a little early, love to play a little bit of Ultimate Team. Me and Mike DeFont, we like to play doubles, online doubles, so, but it's good fun, it's good fun.
Now, he says when you guys go head-to-head, you're pretty much an even match. Is that true, or is someone better than the other?
Nah, that's not true. I'm definitely better than him.
Now, with you being a rookie, this is your first time seeing yourself in the game. What's that like?
Yeah, I mean, it's cool, and it's somewhat motivating as well. You know, you can see stats and scores that you may agree or disagree with. So, you know, the ones that you disagree with, you know, it's just kind of motivation to develop as a player and to get a better score on there.
And talk about your ratings. Where do you think they have it wrong?
You know, I saw the 70 pace on there. I think I'm a little bit faster than 70, but, you know, compared to the rest of the center backs on the game, I guess it's a fair rating.
Now, do you like to play as the Rapids? Do you never play as the Rapids? How do you kind of switch that up?
I play a lot of Ultimate Team. So, you know, I play with a couple of Rapids players on my team, but I never really play with just clubs.
Who are some of the other players that are, you know, you would say are some of the better FIFA players out there?
Better FIFA players? Maybe Josh Gatt. He's pretty good FIFA player. Danny Mwanga back then. He was a very good FIFA player. He always gave me a run for my money. Yeah, and those are the only two that kind of gave me a run for my money, I'd say.
So you would say you're probably top on the team?
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Now, that's got to be an amazing feeling, but also a little strange.
Yeah.
Obviously, you and I will never know what it's like unless they randomly decide to scan me down on the sidelines live tweeting, which would be pretty incredible.
Or unless you're Alan Roach, who's the PA announcer in FIFA 18.
That's what I was wondering.
The Rapids PA announcer is the PA announcer in FIFA 18, ladies and gentlemen.
I mean, just I was so you wondering know. That too. The first time I heard that, I was like,
yes, that is Alan Roach.
Is that Alan Roach? That right? It anyway. Is. I mean, could they live scan me down there tweeting? I don't know if they would be able to get the receding hairline in there, but
hey, you know what? In this world, in this brave new world that we live in, anything is possible. The receding hairline and all could be digitally recreated in FIFA 19.
Absolutely. So I'll send an email over to them right away and see if that could happen. But, you know, going back to anything is possible, a lot of people say that soccer could and would never succeed in the U.S. And as we all know, the sport is, in fact, growing here. And it doesn't look like it's slowing down. And to me, a lot of this can be attributed to the FIFA franchise. Everyone talks about, you know, those millennials and, you know, they all like their video games and their avocado toast and all of that.
Fax machines, yeah.
All of that. But to be fair, it's a good point. There's no denying that millennials, myself included, enjoy sitting down just to get away and catch up on a video game every now and then.
Mm.
Now, a few staff members and myself were talking about FIFA the other day. There was kind of a consensus that the FIFA franchise was what got us interested in, you know, European soccer, European football, which obviously has been a major part of growing the game here.
Well, absolutely. I mean, going back 15 years ago, maybe even 5 or 10, wasn't much access to the Premier League, La Liga, Bundesliga. You couldn't flip on the TV on a weekly basis and watch it. So the game was the way to help grow exposure. I remember playing in college, and my dear friend, my roommate, not much of a soccer guy, he's a baseball guy. To the end of the day. But what was the one thing that we could get some common ground on till 4 o'clock in the morning? And that was FIFA.
Absolutely. Sure, we have the MLS All-Star Game here, but that only happens once a year. It doesn't feature, you know, all of our favorite players. Sure, we had Tim there this year, but, I mean, you want to see some of the other guys out there. But in FIFA, you can make any match happen whenever you want. Is it the same thing as, you know, reality? Not even close. But it's still cool to see Axel Schubert go head-to-head. I know, mind-blowing, right? But, you know, to see virtual Axel Schubert go up against virtual Ronaldo, I mean, it's pretty cool. And going back to the players, it has to be fun for them to witness, you know, playing that as well.
And you know, all of you should see these guys play each other. Because I was watching Facebook Live the other day. Mike DeFont defeats Dom Baji 4-0. And, well, Mike was having a blast just getting away for a bit just to play some FIFA and have some good banter. Good banter.
A lot of good banter out there. If you haven't watched it, definitely go on Facebook Live and watch that. And there are some pretty decent players out there on the team. Obviously, now we know DeFont is very solid. Courtney feels confident, as he said earlier. Mikel plays a lot. Mohamed Saeed actually had a charity match against Kai Kamara a couple months ago. And then Marlon Harrison, if you don't remember, played out here with the fan in 2015 out on the scoreboard. I'm sorry to our fan there if you're listening. That was a 6-1 drubbing. But still, hey, it was really fun.
Playing out there.
Great experience. And, you know, FIFA is really only getting started here, folks. And, you know, the same could be said about the growth of soccer in the U.S. Is it a coincidence? Don't assume that it is. Now, if you excuse me, I have to go back to my Xbox, and I'm going to go put up a hat trick with Stefan Aigner against FC Dallas because I can only assume that's going to happen this weekend.
That is a look into the crystal ball, the FIFA Dylan Gannon predictions of what will happen between the Rapids and FC Dallas coming up on Saturday. You go do that. Let us know the final score. DG, appreciate you as always.
All right. That was fun.
Time now for Parting Shot. This part of the Rapids podcast brought to you by Lunasul Tequila, made using only the best ingredients and classic techniques. Lunasul Tequila, one sip and you know. Richard Fleming, what do you know?
Well, I've been known to take referees to task.
Stop it.
I know.
Stop it.
We've even had fans that have, I've been stood next to you and they've said to you, Can you stop Fleming from having a go at referees? He said, it's a difficult job, and I'm in the room. I'm here. I can hear you. So I do know that referees have come in for a bit of criticism over the last few weeks. But I've got to say that Jorge Gonzalez last weekend had a top notch game, in my opinion. It was a difficult game, and we spoke earlier about all of the different things that happened. Video review, though, as was brought in twice officially. I think we've kind of ascertained that the third time he was going on advice as opposed to going directly to the monitor. But it's there to get the big decisions right. And I think if you look at the Jared Watts and the Montreal penalty that was called back,
yep. And the Daniel Lovitz.
And he got advice on the Aigner situation as well. Because I think we've already seen some big moments this season, including the previous game against Dallas at Toyota Stadium, where there seemed to be a third goal for Dallas. It was called back for offside in the referee's mind. It looked on the replays as if Bobby Berling was playing them onside. It wasn't sent to video review. So there's been a couple of occasions this season, that's not an isolated incident, where the viewer has seen what they think could be questionable and it's not gone to video review. So it was refreshing and I think the right direction to go, that Jorge Gonzalez, with any shred of doubt, was using the technology available, because I think there are some senior officials that go with what they think they saw as opposed to using the technology for whatever reason that is available to them. He went for a yellow card, if you remember. Mr. Gonzalez last weekend went for a yellow card initially on the Watts challenge. I thought the challenge from first look was reckless. I wasn't surprised to see the ref take a moment, probably from having somebody in his ear.
Mm-hmm. Fourth official is right there as well, who had a good angle on it. And then Rosendo Mendoza, the video assistant as well, I'm sure contributed to that.
And then people were saying, well, why was he taking so long? Well, the other reason was he was making sure that Chris Duval was comfortable, the player that was down injured, that was eventually taken off in a wheelchair.
Because that's a priority at that point, right?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely, because you would stop the game. The game would be stopped irrespective of whether you were going to go for video review. Right decision was made on the Watts. Obviously, the right decision was made in his mind on the Aigner goal, and then they officially went to video review for the Hairston challenge, which, again, from the angle that we saw, I thought that he'd made contact with the ball. Chella was saying on initial thoughts that he'd got the player, and then actually when we saw the replays, he kind of went back and said, yeah, no, absolutely, it was a spot on decision. I think the other thing that impressed me with the referee, he wasn't afraid to admit that he'd made a mistake.
On the
with
penalty.
That, with
the,
well, not just the penalty, but that drop ball situation where he kind of lost track of what the assistant was giving, what decision the assistant was giving. So he said, look, I've made a mistake. I'm going to make a drop ball. And we saw the coaches on the sidelines saying to the fourth official, what's he doing? What's he playing at? And I always remember, and this is going back many, many years, when I took a referee's course. And I remember the referee saying to me there, if referees made as many mistakes in the game as the players, it would be absolute chaos.
Oh, absolutely.
But it was refreshing to see the referee was happy to stick his hand up, say, look, guys, I didn't see it, so this is the best outcome. We're going to take a drop ball, centre field, reset, and get on with it. You know, video review, for me, is there for the big mistakes. It's not always been the case in games this season, as we've seen, so I was delighted to see Mr. Gonzalez, Jorge Gonzalez, happy to go to a video assistant referee. Can you imagine if there'd only been a yellow for Jared Watts? Can you imagine if that penalty had been given and had been taken?
It would take the integrity of the game away.
And that, at the end of the day, because viewers at home and obviously Major League Soccer and the sport of soccer is being beamed to different countries around the world. Ultimately, at the end of the day, you're talking about the credibility of the sport and then obviously by association the credibility of that very product. So Major League Soccer, in taking this stance with video review, is fantastic. You then need to have the senior officials in the middle that are strong enough and are confident enough. In other words, I'm going to make a mistake. So if the technology can help me, then I will go to video review. And Mr. Gonzalez last weekend had no hesitation in going to video review, and ultimately the right decisions were made.
The Colorado Rapids take on FC Dallas on October 7th at Dick's Sporting Goods Park.
What a wonderful goal from Dominic Badgie, and he stinks like a bee.
Bring your whole family, no matter what the size, courtesy of the Coca-Cola Family Plan.
Would you believe it? His name is Alan Gordon, and he just loves scoring late.
Starting at only $30, you get a ticket to the game, a meal, and a Coke. Get your tickets now at ColoradoRapids.com.
We've got Dallas coming into town who are really fighting for their playoff lives and are a very good team. Obviously, we met them just a week or so ago and they got the better of us that day. So hopefully we can perform to our maximum potential and get a win this weekend.
What can you take from that prior result a couple of weekends ago?
What can we take is the disappointment, I think, and not wanting to feel that disappointment, making certain that we're prepared for the game properly, and that's a big part of what we're going to be doing this week, making sure we're prepared for Dallas in the right way and making certain that on game day we bring that level of focus and that intensity and also be very, very bold, go towards goal quickly and really, really create some good opportunities for us. I thought we sat back a little bit too much in Dallas, so for us, take the game to them and hopefully that ends up in 3 points.
Obviously, you had a tough bout with Dallas the last week, but, you know, getting a win on the weekend against Montreal gives the guys a lot of confidence to finish out the season strong.
And what were you guys able to take away from your previous match with them a couple weekends ago?
You know, that they're going to push forward. You know, they're on that playoff line looking to get above it. And, you know, they're going to throw everything at us. But that could leave us with a good few opportunities on the counter.
Obviously, we need the 3 points. And I think against Colorado, it's a team that I feel like we can get 3 points against. It's a fight. I mean, the playoffs are a fight, and we needed to start earlier than we normally do, but 3 points every game is a playoff mentality, and that's what we have to do now.
We know we have the talent to not only be a playoff team, but be a contender at the end of the season for the MLS Cup, and that's been our goal from the get-go. And so that first step is making the playoffs, and you know, the next 3 games determine that. So we're focused. We're looking forward to each game, and capitalizing on our opportunities.
I expect them to probably be a little bit upset that we kind of broke our losing streak on them. They probably want to get one back on us, especially in their home crowd. But, you know, we have to come out and treat it like a home game and try to establish ourselves when we go out there.
We have been in Tizizanari for the last few games. What happened is that the wait just gets shorter. Now we don't have too many games. We have just these 3 games, and we need to get the points to get into the playoffs. So the urgency is there, and we all know. And fortunately for the players, I think the last week has been very positive for them. I think the behavior and the field has been very good. And the boys had to be very optimistic.
There are some thoughts from Steve Cook, Zach McMath, Matt Hedges, Walker Zimmerman, Tesho Akindele, and Oscar Pareja of FC Dallas, ahead of FC Dallas and the Colorado Rapids, coming up this Saturday, 7 o'clock here at Dick's Sporting Goods Park. The game in hand for both the Rapids and FC Dallas. Dallas would rise to fifth if they win. The Rapids would move 3 points clear of bottom side LA Galaxy. Dallas would still be fifth with a win, even if MLS rule against them in the Michael Barrios situation. Barrios, initially named in the lineup, but withdrawn after the list had been handed to the match officials. Under FIFA rule, players switched out after team sheets have been submitted are no longer eligible to take part in the game. Barrios came off the bench for the final 6 minutes of the goalless draw at Orlando City last weekend. To me, there's only one decision and one punishment to be made here by Major League Soccer, and that's to make FC Dallas forfeit for an ineligible player.
I'm surprised it's taken so long, and at time of recording, at Thursday morning, there's still a decision hasn't been made. Ignorance is no defense. The fact that those are the rules, it's the same with any rule that you go into, and we see it, you know, players that are ineligible, whether they've been booked, whether they've not been registered in time, we see it across the sport throughout the world, where subsequently teams forfeit, and I think it's a 3-0, it should be a 3-0 win,
yeah,
that is awarded to Orlando. That could give them a bit of a boost. That would take Dallas back to 41 points instead of 42. They would still go to 44 and above Houston and San Jose with a win and Real Salt Lake. So, you know, this does have potential repercussions, because it's a dangerous precedent to say, well, yeah, the rules are there, but you didn't know about it, so we'll let you off this time. Orlando, I imagine, would be screaming that they want all 3 points, particularly for a home game. And, you know, as frustrating as it is from a Dallas standpoint, if it is a genuine mistake, look, that is on somebody. That is on somebody to know those rules, to know that once you submitted the team sheet, that is the team sheet that has to be taking the field. If you have to withdraw a player for whatever reason, then that player can't take any part in the game. Those are the rules. Somebody should have known. Somebody should have been in a position to pass that on to Dallas. They didn't. And we're still now, what are we, 4 or 5 days after the game?
Yeah.
We still haven't had a decision. That's disappointing.
Well, FC Dallas, whether they're 1 point richer or not, will be at Dick's Sporting Goods Park for the first time in over a calendar year. Rapids will have been to Dallas 3 times before FC Dallas has come to Dick's Sporting Goods Park. Hope you'll join us for Rapids kickoff on Altitude Television, getting underway at 6:30 p.m. Mountain Time. Richard Fleming, Ellie Sturm, Jordan Angeli, and I will be with you to bring you coverage starting at 6:30 on Altitude Television. Our coverage on Altitude Sports Radio AM 950 starts at the top of the hour, 7 o'clock. Mark Bertinoli, Alan Baca gets you going in the MLS Tonight studios. That's always on Altitude 950, altitude950.com. Our thanks go to all our guests. And for Richard Fleming and Dylan Gannon, I'm Connor McGahee. Thanks for listening to episode number 241 of the Rapids Podcast. Another one coming your way next week. Until then, it's bye for now.
The Rapids Podcast is presented by Advocare, the official sports nutrition partner of the Colorado Rapids.